there any children or youth that didn't get the Easter promise jelly? Did you get those at the end of the service, or even a dum-dum as you leave the service? I did want to thank everyone for their birthday wishes this week, and it brings me to a Brother Kent story. You know, I have a twin brother, and every year on her birthday, I didn't really make it into a contest, but I love my brother Kent, but everything becomes a contest sometimes to him. And what's different about the two of us, when he would win, I didn't really care, and I really would make him mad. You know what I mean? And he didn't want to lose to me or to anyone. But anyway, so I guess as we've gotten older, it's this kind of contest, who's going to call each other first on the birthday? Well, so we went away for a few days, and we had gotten back early on Thursday morning, about, it was close to 2 a.m., so I went to bed, and I knew it was my birthday, and so about 7:45, phone started ringing. I'm thinking, it's Kent. And, oh gosh, it is our birthday, right? And you hang up, oh, yeah, birthday. So I answered the phone, and I said, okay, you win. He said, happy birthday. And he said, what are you doing? I said, sleeping. where'd you go? And so he's asking all these questions. Kind of like my mom. You know what I mean? About what are you doing? And so I want to thank everyone for their birthday wishes. And you know, I was just thinking this morning as praying and preparing as everyone had left and just had some time in here this morning about, gosh, I have lots of Easter memories from this place. You know, I shared this before, just growing up in the church and remembering when I was little, you know, all the customary traditional things that we still do, sunrise, breakfast, not that I always came to it, but always knew that was happening. And as I got older, certainly was more faithful to that. And I always remember growing up in the church, I said this morning, everybody had a hat. Where's our hat? I remember growing up in the church, everybody wore an Easter hat. And just those things I remember, you know. And in the eighth grade, you know, I was baptized on Easter Sunday right there. So doing baptisms on Easter Sunday are really, really important to me. And so we think about all these traditions and all these things that we do and how they're memories that we have and just speak heavily to my heart. Growing up, certainly with my twin brother and that whole group of people growing up in the church and having all these Easter memories. And, you know, I always have grown up knowing what Easter really means. Growing up in this church, knowing what this means, this cross, and knowing what happened on the cross. And, you know, this morning as we come on this Easter Sunday, it hasn't changed. The story has not changed. But what changes for us is how we view that and how we live that and what it really means to us. And so this morning, we're going to think about three things as we come on this Easter Sunday. We're going to think about an empty cross, an empty tomb that leads us to a living Savior. An empty cross, an empty tomb, and a living Savior. Because, you know, when we think about Easter, man, you'll ask people, if we were to go and to even take a poll today or, you know, even yesterday, if people were out doing all these fun Easter things, if you were to ask people what this cross means, you know, most people, we talked about this one night in youth, that most people know when they see a cross, it has something to do with church or God or Jesus. They know that if they've never been in church or really involved in church or really read much of the Bible, they know that that cross means something about Jesus. And if you ask a lot of people about Easter, they say, oh, that's when Jesus died. No, it isn't. Easter is when he's risen. He's alive. But he had to die before he could rise again. So as we look at this story this morning, realizing before there could be an empty tomb, there had to be an empty cross. Luke chapter 24 this morning, looking at verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they prepared and went to the tomb. So Jesus died on the cross. The cross is empty. He's been put in the tomb, and this is what the women went to do, and they found the stone was rolled away. So they knew there was an empty cross. They knew he was put in the tomb, and now they go to do these customary things, and the stone is rolled away. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. It was empty. He was not there. And while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. Well, they were wondering, wouldn't you? Now think about it. They were wondering, what's happening? What's going on? Where is he? And these two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood right beside them. They just appeared out of nowhere. And they're frightened. You would be too, right? They're frightened. Here's what they went to do, this customary thing with their oils, and Jesus isn't there. They saw him die. They watched him die. They watched him being crucified on the cross. They saw him being put in the tomb. Everybody's talking about it. And it says, why do you look for the living among the dead? These two men that are gleaming, that's frightened them, actually speak. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you why he was still with you in Galilee? So these two men, gleaming, angels, are like, don't you remember? This has happened just how he told you. The Son of Man must be delivered over the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. He's going to be crucified. There's going to be an empty cross, and now there's an empty tomb. In verse 8, oh, then they remembered his words. You ever really thought about that? They go to the tomb. I mean, think about all these followers and the people that were close to Jesus, his family, the disciples. He's preparing them for an empty cross. And his entire journey, he was preparing them for an empty tomb, telling these are the things that are going to happen. Here's what I want you to do after this empty cross and this empty tomb. Here's what I want you to do. And then it unfolds and it happens, just as he said, and they don't remember. And they're like, oh, okay. I remember that now. Isn't that surprising to you? Oh, the Son of Man's going to be delivered. He's going to rise again. This doesn't happen much. And he told you about it. Oh, yeah, I remember him saying something about that now. Isn't that what we do? People talk to us and people tell us things. You're like, oh, yeah, I remember I was supposed to pick up my kids at 4. Yeah, I remember that now. I remember I was supposed to work in the nursery this morning. Oh, I remember that now. That's different. You couldn't remember that Jesus was going to rise from the dead. You forgot about that? Isn't that interesting? Do we forget about that? Are we surprised this morning that this has happened? I mean, God's word told us this was going to happen. Jesus told everybody that he was actually here, it was going to happen. Did you forget? Wow. I think it really hurt my feelings if that were me. If I were Jesus. Well, you know, I did all this and you forgot about it. You forgot this was going to happen. And so, oh, yeah. Now I remember. But see, all this that happened, Jesus said it was going to happen. God promised that it would happen. Just in talking to all these children this morning and their excitement, that's a promise. You think of these colors, you think of the rainbow, that's a promise. And maybe when you eat that jelly, you'll be reminded of what that means. And we have all these things at the cross and what it reminds us of, and blue and red, what that reminds us of, the blood of Jesus. And so these women went to the tomb to do what they needed to do, and then he wasn't there, and then these angels appear, and these people, and these men gleaming tell them what's happening. Oh, yeah, I remember something about that. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. Do you think they're going to remember too? Did they forget too? But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Well, Jesus told everybody, this is what's going to happen. Oh. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? He's wondering what happened? Well, there's that Peter guy. You know what he did? He denied you. I don't know that guy. I don't know him. Because he didn't want to get in trouble. He didn't want there to be any penalties for himself. He didn't want anything to happen to him. Jesus is the one that died on this cross. Oh, I think I remember a little bit about that. Oh, and this guy Peter said, I wonder what happened here. Isn't it interesting? Things happen all the time we can't understand. right? Things are happening in our world today. We can't understand what the world is going on. Why are these things happening? Why is all this happening? You know, we actually were away for a few days, and we heard the news about the burning of the chapel there that was happening. And I'm thinking, man, do you realize that church was? You think this church is old? This is a beautiful church. That place is 800 years old. And caught on fire. Did you really read about that? Or did you do any research about all the things that were saved in that fire? God was in control. You know, we were in was that called the St. Peter's or Peter's Cathedral? Now, we were there on Wednesday at like 2:30. And I told you guys that you should always, God is with us. But man, especially if you're in New York City, I am always looking for someone who could be suspicious. I'm not joking. I mean, I was everywhere. I mean, okay, just keep moving. Everybody just keep moving. You know, you just don't know. We had a great time. You were there. You don't talk about me. Just look at everybody. So we were in that chapel, and it's a beautiful place. And you can only maybe get from here to maybe the second pew, and they get all ripped off, and you got to go through, and they got to check. It's church, but they got to frisk you and check all this. But it's a cathedral, very historic cathedral there in New York City. So, we didn't go all the way in, so I don't want to go through all that. But people could go in there, and they had candles. You could pray just like you would do in this church. But people on the app were just looking, and we were looking and taking some pictures. And I was just really in awe of that. And again, knowing what happened to the church in the world is so historic. It's 800 years old. It caught on fire. It's going to be okay, they say. God's still in control. And in that cathedral, in these old places, and how people are still in there praying. And so the next morning when I got up and, after my brother called and woke me up and said happy birthday, I was watching the Today Show, and they were talking about that cathedral in New York City. About 8 o'clock, some guy went in there with a gas can and was going to blow the place up. I'm like, what? I didn't see him. Oh, it's burning. But that was 2:30. Like, what? So I'm thinking, there's no way. And so I'm thinking, now, you know what that guy said? He said he ran out of gas or something. He was just passing through the cathedral. Have you been to New York City? There are no gas stations. He planned that out. He got that gas in New Jersey, or maybe here. Don't run out of gas when you're in New York City. Just don't do it. You know, and don't care for your tires, because I know what I'm talking about. Just take all care of that before you. I mean, what? How did I really think that he was going to get involved with that? You know what I mean? And we're like, what in the world has happened here? Why are people doing these things? What's going on? What are they thinking? And then we come to this story that happened a long time ago, way before any of this. And they're wondering what's happened. But Jesus told them this was going to happen. And God promised that it would happen. And Peter's like, oh, I don't really know what happened. And then these women are like, I think I remember that. So my question this morning, and really challenge to all of us, and this is something we need to share with the world, that do you remember this? I mean, do you believe this to be true? Do you remember it every day and not just today? Do you remember what this really means to you? This empty cross? Before there could be an empty tomb, there has to be an empty cross, right? Jesus, everything that he did was in preparation of this. Think about his entire journey. He came to live and to minister and to meet needs and take care of people, but he came to die on the cross for all of us, that our sins will be forgiven. And if we believe this to be true, then we can live with him forever. We just have to say, yes, I believe you, and I surrender my life to you. And then this cross is empty, and he goes right into the tomb, and he rises from the dead. We believe that. And so you should remember that every day, not just today. We're during the season of Lent. We're preparing for this. Do you remember? Do you remember that every day? So when we get up in the morning, tomorrow, and every day for the rest of our lives, we should remember this empty cross. Yeah, I know all about that. I know that's how it was supposed to happen. I learned that. Read in God's Word. I trust that to be true. An empty cross. Yeah, I remember that. I remember Jesus died on the cross. And I remember there's an empty tomb because he's risen for me. And I know that he's living now, a living Savior. This empty cross, empty tomb, a living Savior. How's that? See, you're the living Saviors right now, right? We're to be living all this to be true, remembering what Christ has done for us every day. An empty cross, an empty tomb. We're living for him now, doing what he's taught us to do, serving where he takes us. We keep talking about this year, about going where God would have us to go, doing what God would have us to do, and be who God would have us to be. That's a living Savior. We're not perfect. God still loves us. We sin. He'll forgive us of our sins. But each and every day, we remember this empty cross and this empty tomb and this living Savior that's alive because I'm trying my best to live for Him and to serve Him. You know, as we think about Easter, I really love the smellies when they were put in here the other day. I just come in here, you know, just, you know, getting high on lilies, right? I just love to come in here and smell these lilies. It's just those memories that remind me. Easter lilies might remind you about an empty cross and empty tomb, does it? Maybe the Easter bunny will remind you somehow about an empty cross and empty tomb. And you know, at Easter and at Christmas, we have these songs that we sing. And we're going to close this morning with this song. And it says, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, you can face today. Every day, remembering an empty cross, an empty tomb, and a living Savior. And because of the living Savior now that's living, that I can face tomorrow, but I can face today. Because He lives, I can face anything. Do you believe that this morning? God is bigger than any mountain that you can or cannot see. You may have some mountains this week you know nothing about. Because of this empty tomb and this empty cross that led to a living Savior, God's Word tells me that I can face anything. I can face today. I can face tomorrow. All fear is gone. I can face anything because I serve a living Savior. Do you believe that this morning? When I think about all the people that have been a part of the ministry here in this church and all the people that have been baptized while I've been a part of the ministry here. That's what this is all about. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Wow. I was talking to a young man yesterday. He said I was his teacher. I remember. I'm sure I was. And he said, yeah, you're my teacher. Yeah, I helped him with reading when I taught Title I. And he said, these are my three kids. He said, he's just real proud of them. And I said, you ought to come to church tomorrow. And he said, oh, my kids don't have anything to wear for Easter. They don't? What do you mean they don't? He said, we don't have all that fancy stuff. Oh, man. Easter isn't about all that fancy stuff. I mean, I do have a new suit on this morning, but this is not fancy, right? I mean, we're not fancy here. We've come to sit, serve a risen Savior. And I don't think He's here. And I just prayed He goes somewhere. I said, oh, man. He said, I will come someday. He said, I just don't feel right coming tomorrow. Oh, I don't want, have we made church that way? Have we made people feel that way? Boy, I hope not. It's not fancy here. We're not fancy. We're just trying to serve Jesus, take care of people, and help the homeless and feed the hungry. That's all we're trying to do here at the Baptist Church. Nothing fancy about that. Jesus saw what He wasn't fancy, was He? But Jesus came and He died on the cross and He rose from the dead. He's a living Savior. Man, that's what this is about. We remember, we know, but I hope that God, man, I taught him to read, he said, but I think I did, but man, I hope I taught him something really more important yesterday. Oh, Easter's about all that fancy stuff. He said, I'm going to come some Sunday. God, man, I pray that he does. I pray this morning, everybody, and I was praying there'd be record attendance, records would be broken all over the world today, people in church, they realize how much they need this living Savior. The cross is empty, the tomb is empty, but we serve a living Savior. You know a lot of people that need to know this morning, that because He lives, they can face tomorrow. People are just living hopeless and out of control and feel like their life's out of control. But you need to share with them about this living Savior. And because of this living Savior, I can face anything. That God is bigger than any mountain that I can or cannot face. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for this empty cross. And we thank You for this empty tomb that gives us a living Savior. God, You're our Savior. You're the Savior of the world. And I pray that everybody in this room right now realizes, God, that You love them that much, that You sent this Son of Yours, Jesus, to die for them, and He rose for them. You did that for me, for each of us. there's an empty cross this morning, and an empty tomb this morning, and a living Savior for me. We need to take that personal this morning. And God, we thank you for that promise that because of you, because you live in us, we can face today. And you tell us, just take it one day at a time. We can face tomorrow. We can face anything. All fears are gone because you hold the future. God, we thank you for that promise. May we always remember that. I pray that all these children remember that. I think about all the people who have been a part of my ministry. I hope they'll always remember, God, how much you love them. And how much Jesus loved them because he did all this for them. Because he lives. Thank you, God. And I pray if there's any decisions that need to be made this morning, anyone that needs to come and give their heart to you, Lord, and accept you as their living Savior, they do that right now. Or are they just a fallen away? Life happens. We make bad choices. We all do. You still love us when we fall away from that narrow path you have for each of us. You still love us. You always forgive us. And God, this morning, whatever decisions need to be made, if we just need to come to the cross, to this empty cross this morning, or this empty tomb for prayer this morning, pray we do it. God, we love you. Thank you. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.